So, and also his daughter and son-in-law are traveling from Florida on the 22nd, so prayers for them.
Prayers for Edith and Walter and Junior and also Walter's family as they travel. Their prayers this day. Jill.
I'd like to ask prayers for my dad, stepmother, and brother, especially this Christmas. Multiple concerns.
For Jill's dad, stepmother, and brother this Christmas. Other prayers. Come this way. Hi, Jackie.
I'd like to thank everyone for prayers when I've been ill. I'm glad to be back today, and thank you again.
Continue prayers with Jackie as you continue to recover. Yes, Russ.
Joy, I want want prayers for my granddaughter, Marie, who just celebrated her first birthday yesterday.
Prayers of joy for Marie, 1 year old. Thank you. Let's see. Erica.
Yes, joy for my grandmother, who just had her 90th birthday.
Thanks for the life of Erica's grandmother, 90 years old. Other prayers today. Julie B.
I'd like to thank you for bringing Chuck Robinson back here safely. He's been traveling. I'm not sure exactly where, but he can tell you. He's the man that stands in coffee hour that doesn't wear his tag, so he's easy to recognize, okay? And I'd like to thank you all for praying, and my brother needs continued prayers for, he's been battling cancer, but he's living a very decent quality of life, and the blessings are that he's received a lot of prayers, and I'm very thankful for that, and so is our family. Thank you. And he's in Pennsylvania, and he said we missed a big storm that went west. Went east, I guess.
Prayers, continued prayers for Julie's brother in Pennsylvania, and joy at Chuck's presence in the congregation today. Let me see. Henry. And Lisa wanted to lift up a prayer of for a little baby named Henry, who we met when we were in the hospital in New York, who's just started out with a similar situation to Abigail, but who's taken really turns for the worse and continues to sort of cling to life. So we're praying for Henry today. Priscilla.
Just want to thank God for last Friday, Sophie turned 5. And from where we started from, I just really want to thank God for that. And I also want to ask prayers for Greenwich Farm. It's a nursing home. I go there to take care of old ladies. I do their hair and stuff for them. And I want to ask prayers for them because some of them are very lonely and sad. So I'm asking for big, big prayers for them this holiday.
For the ladies of Greenwich Farm, where Priscilla works doing hair for those ladies, we also give thanks for the life of little Sophie, 5 years old. Another prayer. Hi, CJ.
Hi, I'd like to have a prayer of thanks for very skilled hand surgeons and prayers of joy for the tiny infants who have joined our midst, and particularly the preacher's kid who tries to pray when we're supposed to be doing our silent confessions.
Thanks, CJ. Thanksgiving for the skilled surgeons who worked on CJ's hand this week, and also for the tiny babies in our midst as they lift up all kinds of sounds in the midst of our service, a joyful time. Other prayers today? Yeah, Michelle.
I would like prayers for my son, Carnell Jones, to continue on focusing in school and bring up his grades.
Carnell, we're praying for you, man. Look out. Prayers for that. Prayers that God will be with Carnell as he grows. Thanks. Kathy.
Can we pray for Central Falls High School and for other schools that are just struggling?
Thank you. Prayer for Central Falls High School's had quite a year, and for all the schools that are struggling in this time. Thanks.
Let us pray. Guide us, great God, into your spirit in these days, that we might know the wonder of this season, the truth of your grace and love for all your people. We pray, O Lord, for our hurting world, for places of pain and recovery, for the refugee in our midst and in our families, for places torn by war and rebuilding. May your light in the light of this season bring hope out of despair and calm and peace even in the midst of frenzy. We give thanks, O God, for the many joys of our lives, for all of these birthdays, for Jamie, for Marie, for Erica's grandmother, for Sophie. We give thanks for those in our midst after absences, for Chuck and Jackie, and for CJ in her healing. We pray, O Lord, for all those who struggle in this time, that they might know your healing and empowering presence with them. And we lift to you Mixie and Edith, Walter, Junior, Gray, and the rest of Jill's family, for Jim and for Henry. May your healing and your empowering and your light shine upon them in these days. We pray for all who are unemployed and underemployed in these days and face the discouragement of that in these cold winter months. We pray for those who feel, O Lord, the pangs of grief in the loss of loved ones, particularly in this season, and for those that are hospitalized, particularly in this time. We lift up to you the women of the Greenwich Farms nursing home and the loneliness of those who often don't have those to visit in these days. And we thank you for the presence of folks who come to bring light and love into their midst. We pray, O Lord, for students and schools in this day, for people going home after finals, for those who are still trying to make their way into better places in school. We pray for Carnell. We pray for the teachers and students of Central Falls and all of our schools who seek to educate those in our midst. We trust to you, O God, the safety of all who travel in these busy days, for those who are preparing to travel here, for Andrew Benson, for Walter's family as they come here, and for all those here traveling. We pray, O Lord, for the many homeless in our midst, that you would guide us to great compassion in these cold winter days, and a will to care for those most vulnerable. In this season of hope, O God, as our legislators scurry to finish legislative agendas, we give thanks for the ways in which you move into new places of fullness and honesty of life for all your people, even as we mourn the loss of the Dream Act yet once again. Help us, O God, to look to this season in wonder, that we might not miss the power of the simple message that you came to earth to dwell amongst us, and that you are ever with us, never to leave and forsake your people. In Christ, we would pray and live as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation to come forward. Come on down here in the front. Come on down. If you're here. Here you guys. Come on. Hey, all right. Only a few today. Here we go. Some more. Come on in, you guys. Well, it's almost a special day. I wonder, yeah, find a seat there. I wonder what's coming up that's special. I was thinking of Jamie Cooper's 16th birthday, but yes, Christmas is also coming up soon. And I was wondering, what do you guys want for Christmas? What are you hoping for Christmas? What's something you want? Yeah. A puppy? Look out. All right. What do you want for Christmas? Just think about that. Any ideas? What do you guys want for Christmas?
I want a cat.
A cat? Nice. So a puppy and a cat. All right. I see a theme. What do you want? Not for Christmas. Any dolls or any toys?
I mean, I want some toys.
You want some toys too? Okay. How about you? What do you want, Nathan? A guitar. That would be cool. Well, I'm not sure what you'll end up getting. Well, yeah, he already has a guitar. I know. I've seen it. I don't know what you're going to get for Christmas. I don't know what you're going to end up with, but I brought something. This is, you can tell that I wrapped this because it's not very nice, but it's a Christmas gift. And what do you think it might be? Coal? It might be some coal. It's about that size. Yeah. Anything you don't think it is? What could not be in here? What's definitely not in here? Maybe it's a cookie. Yeah, it could be some cookies. Yeah. Do you think it's a basketball?
No.
Think it's a puppy?
No.
No. A basketball is more like a circle. That's right. Well, what's in here is a gift that I hope you get your puppy and your kitty and your toys and your guitar. There's a lot of toys. Yeah, I hope you guys get what you are hoping for Christmas. But you know what? I'll bet that what's in here you will also get this Christmas. You want to take a look?
Yeah.
Can somebody open this for me? Can you open that? Okay, rip that open. What's in it?
Ew.
What is that? Who's that? Baby Jesus, you're right. We've been waiting for him to show up on the manger, but he's been hiding out. He's not here yet. Look at that baby Jesus. You know, at Christmas time, we give and receive gifts because it's kind of like it reminds us that God gave us a gift at Christmas and sent Jesus to be with us. Look at that little baby Jesus. And Jesus is a gift that we get to have every Christmas season. But not only that, we get to have Jesus every day in our lives. Isn't that neat? A little baby Jesus who grows up to be a human, an adult who teaches us and helps us to know God better. Who loves us and loved especially little children. This is Jesus, a gift from God for your life in this week and every day coming up. So I just want to pray with you and then I'll send you to your classes, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for sending us your Son to come into our lives, to bring joy and love, to share your message of peace and grace. Help us to receive this gift this Christmas. Amen. Amen. You can head down to your classes. Children are released to their classrooms downstairs. The high school students are released to go upstairs to class today.
This morning's Old Testament lesson can be found in Psalm 80. Verses 1 through 7, and that's found on page 511 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. Also be projected up on the screen. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And the New Testament lesson is in Matthew 1, and that's verses 18 through 25. And that's in the Pew Bibles in the Old Testament, page 1, also projected. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we sing our middle hymn together. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you. Good morning. As we begin today, let us pray. God of love and power, you are revealed to us in your word, in accounts of prophecy and fulfillment that direct our attention to Jesus the Christ. Illumine us now as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may open our hearts to him, yearn for his coming in glory, and serve him with joy. Amen. Well, this is the time of year when my mailbox starts to fill up with all kinds of Christmas cards and family photos that people send out around these days. Is it the same for you? In our house, we have a whole door that's dedicated to these kinds of Christmas cards. It's kind of like a 7-foot-tall mosaic full of faces and places as people try and tell the story of what life has been like for them this year. And I want to invite you today to think with me about an image that I have in mind. The image is a family Christmas photo. A family Christmas photo. It's the kind of thing you might send out or receive this time of year. I think we all break down into two essential groups: those who send family Christmas photos and those who don't. And I wonder which kind you are. Do you send a family Christmas photo out each year or not? Do you not do that? I wonder if you'll turn to somebody next to you and just share. Do you send a photo or not? Do it right now. Okay. I see some of you like talking to your husband or wife. I don't know. They ought to know. So let's see the results. So it's just a show of hands. How many of you send out a family photo usually? A few, some folks, okay. How many don't send out a photo? Whoa! A majority, okay. Well, I read this week that the Pope is one of those people who sends out an annual Christmas card with photos. This year, the official Christmas card that the Pope is sending out, Pope Benedict, it has a picture on it, which is taken from a cathedral in Barcelona, Spain. It's called the Sagrada Familia, and it means the Holy Family. And this picture is of a sculpture done by Gaudí on this famous cathedral wall. It shows Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus. It's a nativity scene. And this picture on the Pope's Christmas card shows, which we're not supposed to be looking at quite yet. Bring me back one. Thank you. Hey, come on. We're getting it together. This picture on the Pope's Christmas card is this really beautiful and happy and peaceful pose. It's Mary and Joseph huddled together around that newborn baby Jesus. And that's usually the way we think about them, isn't it? That happy, holy family. Almost like a Christmas card photo in our minds. But the thing about Christmas card photos is that it's just a snapshot. It's just a brief moment when we all sit up a little straighter and smile a little bigger and act a little better. It's as if our lives were perfectly put together with Christmas pants and matching sweaters. But that's not really the whole story, is it? It can't be. Because a photo like that can't show what goes on in the rest of our lives, behind the scenes, or after the camera is put away. Now, if you were to look at the picture on the Pope's Christmas card, you might say to yourself, oh, if only our lives could be as simple and serene as that family's life back then. But what I want to show you today, as we look at the scripture passage we read together, is that Mary and Joseph, even though they look like they might fit really well into a beautiful Christmas card, they actually had complex issues going on in their lives and in their families, just like we do in ours. So today we're going to look beyond the framed photo of their family and explore a little bit deeper the circumstances of Mary and Joseph and their family. According to the Gospel of Matthew, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. when his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child, pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, decided to dismiss her quietly. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married, but this was before they had lived together, before they consummated their relationship. Maybe a good word for it would be they were betrothed or they were promised to each other. Under Jewish law, an engagement was a serious matter. It usually lasted about 1 year before the couple started living together, but they would be engaged for a full year, as if they were married. If they ever split up, it would be as if they were being divorced. A serious matter. But what options did Joseph have? After all, they were meant to be together. They were promised to each other. But then one day, Mary turns up pregnant. And Joseph knows it's not his baby. Well, he had some options at this point. He had some rights. If he wants to, he could make Mary's life pretty miserable. He could publicly denounce her. He could shame her. He could drag her out in front of everyone and call her all kinds of names. They didn't have diamond engagement rings back in those days, but if they did, he'd probably say, "Let's have it back." He'd probably paid a little bride price to her family. He could go to them and say, "I want my money back. What's going on?" And although he could have done all of those things, we read that Joseph doesn't do them. He's described as this caring person. Matthew describes him or calls him righteous or just. He was a righteous or just man. Even though he had been so hurt by the news that Mary had given him, he decides not to go public with their situation. Instead, he will quietly send her away. And in the Bible, this is portrayed as kind of the nicer thing to do, a better solution somehow. But I wonder about that. She would still be a single, pregnant, unwed mother sent away from the one she had wanted to be with. If Joseph stays with her, he could become a laughingstock. But if he sends Mary away, she becomes a disgrace. This is the situation that they faced. It reminds me of a woman that I talked to recently who told me her story of being a single, young, unwed mother after the father of her child dropped out of the picture. She told me how it felt going to doctor's appointments by herself and buying baby clothes by herself, sitting in church by herself, making plans for these babies for this baby by herself, and all the while so visibly pregnant, with a tummy out to here, and the dad nowhere in sight. And this is what Mary was facing if Joseph had decided to send her away. How hard that would have been for Mary and for her family. How hard that must have been for this woman that I'm telling you about and her family, which is my family. She's my sister who lives in California. She has a 2-month-old baby. She's raising him on her own. You see, our lives are a lot messier than just a Christmas card photo can show. There is a painting that I want to show you today, and it captures a little bit of the complex family dynamics that we're talking about in that Holy Family. It's a painting that you'll see here behind me by a Renaissance artist named Raphael, who you've probably heard of. He lived in Italy in the 15th and early 16th centuries. This painting on the screen is called The Holy Family. And in art history, there's this whole genre of paintings around the Holy Family. They're focused on Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And in a lot of them, like in this one, you'll see that Mary and Jesus are front and center, but that Joseph is off to the side. Mary is shown close to Jesus, playing with him, interacting. Mother and child are reaching for each other with both hands. Then you notice Joseph's hands are folded on a walking stick. One commentator said that Joseph is keeping a theologically appropriate distance. That is to say, reinforcing the idea that Joseph was not the biological father of this child. He's meant to stand back somehow. Well, something in this picture tells us the family is more complicated than we first thought. Not only is Joseph less engaged and off to the side, but look at the light in this picture. Jesus and Mary are colorful, brilliant, almost illuminated, but Joseph is not. He's off in the shadows. You can hardly see him. So it's Joseph, who's a righteous man, who makes a hard decision, probably the right decision. He trusts that God has a plan for his life and his family and this baby. And we can put that off. So the story of how Jesus, God's own son, comes into the world is so strange, isn't it? When we see all the decisions and difficulties that this family faced, it makes us wonder a little bit, why would God choose to do it this way? Wasn't there some other way? Or some easier way? Or some better way? And there might have been. But the witness of Scripture is this: that God chooses to come into the world in this way. This is part of the mystery of the story of Jesus, or the story of Christmas. That God doesn't just want to sit up in a living room somewhere in heaven looking at framed family photographs and say, yes, yes, looks like everyone's coming along nicely. They've got it all together in their matching ties and their Christmas sweaters. Because we all know that our lives, our family situations are more complicated, a little bit more messy than anything a Christmas card photo could show. But the good news is that God knows that too. And still, God chooses to enter into the messiness of our lives. At Christmas, God chooses not just to admire our photos from far away, but to come down and enter our story, enter our human family, to share life with us, even as complicated and chaotic as it can be. Karl Barth, that great 20th century theologian, once wrote that in Jesus Christ, God comes forth out of profound hiddenness in order to act as God among us and for us. God comes out of profound hiddenness in order to act as God among us and for us. God chooses to be with us, Emmanuel. So I wonder what all this means for you or me here on the week before Christmas. This idea of a family photo card, how that resonates with you. Think about your own family. What's the picture you would like to present? What's the image you would like to put out for the world? And then I wonder, what's your real reality? What's going on behind the scenes when no cameras are taking pictures? The things nobody wants to put up on their refrigerator. What are you facing today? Because here's the good news that Jesus brings to us through this passage, through this snapshot of the first family photo. That they had all kinds of things in their life. Jesus, who came to walk and talk and move among us, shares our humanity, shares our struggles, temptations, doubts, difficulties. If you have a complex family life, think about Jesus' complex family life. And yet, the good news is that God chooses to come into the complexity, into the messiness, into our world, and yes, this day, even into our lives. I pray we meditate on this picture of Jesus, the one who comes, even as we wait for him in this Christmas season. Amen.
Please rise and join me in reciting the affirmation of faith. It's from our Song of Hope, stanza 3.
Our only hope is Jesus Christ. After we refused to live in the image of God, he was born on the Virgin Mary, sharing our dreams and our instincts, entering our culture, speaking our language, fulfilling the law of God, being united to Christ's humanity. We know ourselves when we rest in him. Come, Lord Jesus. We are open to your spirit. We await your full presence. Our world finds rest in you alone.
Please be seated. And now is the time in our service that we present our gifts and offerings.
Praise God from whom all you in thankfulness what you have given to us in kindness. We acknowledge that the world and its resources are not ours but yours, and that you have put us in charge as your trustees. Help us to exercise responsibly the authority you give us in your world. Let Jesus, your Son, be the pattern for all our dealings with one another and with the rest of creation. Bless the gifts we now present back to you so that they may be used in the work of your kingdom on this earth. Amen.
Are reminded that we have a very brief congregational meeting starting right now. If you're a member of the congregation, please remain here. Everyone else, you're welcome to get into some coffee and snacks. We'll be with you in the Hope Room in just a moment. And now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Of the congregation is called to order for the purpose of considering the terms of call for this year. for this year upcoming in 2011, and I believe that Dan Barron is here with copies of the Terms of Call, correct? That we might begin passing out. Madam Clerk, Lori, do we have a quorum here? We do have a quorum. I would like to call upon Judy Babcock, the Chair of the Personnel Committee, after I open us in prayer. Let us pray. Great God, we give thanks for the many blessings of life and ministry in this place. Be with us, we pray, as we gather together here as your congregation, that we might do only your will in our considerations and deliberations here. Bless, O Lord, your light in this world and in this season, and your guidance as we come together here. In Christ we pray. Amen. Judy Babcock.
Good morning. First, I'd like to let you know who's on the Personnel Committee. Brooke Moles, Cheryl Mason, who's passing out sheets there. Dan Karen is one of the new members. And the other two members have the same name as me. We're all Judys. For some reason, there are four Judys in this church. I've never been someplace where there's so many Judys. And we have all but one of them. Judy Ward is not on this committee. Judy Blackadar is, and Judy Kawamoto. We met with all the staff members, including the co-pastors, and we will be meeting during the year periodically with the co-pastors. Our decision with respect to the terms of call was that we found that Presbytery is not making any changes in the minimum required, which they didn't last year either. We have always, up until last year, we've always managed to do just the minimum for our pastors. And last year we said we can't just do the minimum. We have to give them a little bit of increase, not what they deserve, but just in token of our appreciation, because we know financial times are hard. Financial times, the economic situation is still hard, but we still came to that conclusion that we would like to give them a 1% increase just as a token of our appreciation for all they do for us. And this is reflected in the paper that you're getting.
We'll see you in a minute, Judy.
Okay. Pastors have to leave while we vote. They are choosing to take the 1% in their housing allowance. So you will see that difference reflected there. And there will be some other minor changes in terms of their pension and so forth based on that 1%, which Dan has figured out. Is there any, this is our motion. Yes, so. Yes, both of them now are better than the minimum of Presbytery as of last year, and we're increasing it this year again. A tiny bit. But we wanted to do this in appreciation for them. So the motion on the floor is that we increase the pastor's salaries by 1%. So the 1% is reflected in their housing allowance. The cash amount is the same. It's a tax benefit to them to put it in their housing allowance. Okay. Since the moderator's out of the room, I guess I can. Is there any discussion? Yes, Dan? No, there's no other changes, nothing in terms of their vacations. It's all it's the same as before. So that's the only change in the terms of call is a 1% increase. Pardon? Yeah, Chris's time is staying the same. We asked her if she wanted that increased, and no, she does not at this time. We always ask her that. Okay. Okay. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So, can we get the pastors? We have to get Chris back in at least to close the meeting.
Motion has carried. Okay. Then I will ask my co-pastor Dave to close us in prayer. Is there a motion to adjourn? So, what? You make the motion to adjourn, okay? And I heard several seconds. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Okay, Pastor Dave.
Let us pray. Great and gracious God, you call us out of the ways we might have gone and into your way. Sustain us now as a congregation. Give us life and hope and spirit. We pray for the work that you have ahead for us in the coming year, for Pastor Chris and I as we are called into it, for all of us as part of the congregation as we find our parts to play. Bless and keep us now, we pray. Send us out into your world in grace and truth. Bringing us together again in peace. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You're dismissed. I don't know.
Go to coffee house.
pinpoint straight into even an actor. I'm not sure why that is. I would think it's romantic if I should be able to. But it's only really, it's only sensing the vibrations. I think it's more that goes through, it's not amplified, but whatever the drive is, so that, you know, your hands go through. Thank you.